Our guest on today's Martin Luther King Jr. Day edition of the KHSU magazine is Stephen Bell. And Stephen works at the Humboldt State University Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, which is charged with developing policies for the HSU campus that seek to institutionalize diversity and improve the climate in the classrooms and other institutional spaces. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today, or joining me today here at KHSU.
Thanks, Claire, for having me.
Oh, I'm really happy to have you here. So you work at the Humboldt State Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. And on this Martin Luther King Day, what do you think about where our country is and as far as diversity, equity, and inclusion go?
Well, I'd say we have a long, long way to go. And even though we've made strides, there's been several authors more prominent and successful in terms of voice and impact than me that have chronicled this. But one comes to mind, Ta-Nehisi Coates, Between the World and Me. And it highlights just the huge gap in opportunities, in progress, so-called progress, particularly in terms of in race and class is concerned. And I think that Dr. Martin Luther King, foremost, he's very special because he was a race man, first and foremost, representing black people on behalf of the church, which is really uncommon nowadays, because you have a lot of ministers now that seem to think in terms of non-denominational, or they sort of think in terms of kingdom, and it's sort of like a colorblindness, which, sad to say, Dr. Martin Luther King has gotten his legacy has got kind of mixed up in colorblindness. Make no bones about it. He was a black man. Not only was he a black man, he was a black leader on behalf of black people that was had a huge vision that was inclusive, and that could benefit a lot of people. So, again, his legacy and the work that he did in terms of what happened in the 60s has fallen short in a lot of regards, and we have to pick it up. And that's what comes into word equity. Equity is noticing the differences, and not just differences in terms of racial differences, but I'm talking about discrepancies, deficiencies in terms of numbers. And these things have been chronicled since the 60s, and they haven't gotten better in terms of the prison industrial complex, the child mortality, college graduation, the discrepancies in income for black people. And so in some terms, for the individual, yes, you could say a few individuals have been successful. We've enjoyed some black billionaires and some successful people who've done heights in their respective careers. But as a group overall, I would say we have a long way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a scholar of this, but just in reading some of the statistics about the incarceration percentages for people of color, it's just incredibly high. And, just people who are living in poverty in this country in general just don't have a level playing field to start with. And how do you move forward with knowing that there are all these obstacles, you know, and just a kind of systems that are set up to kind of keep it that way, like keep those obstacles in place? Like, what's the mindset to move beyond that?
I would say ownership in one word, and that's something our country has not done the best at, is taking ownership of the situation. Seems like no matter what happens in this country when it has to deal with racism, no matter how much is televised and reported, it seems to be a blaming of the victim. And that seems to be like the popular narrative. And I think, first of all, we have to acknowledge that black people are Americans. Black people born in America are fully American. And the hyphenation of African American makes us distinct. And when you're distinct, you're different. And when you're different, you can be discriminated against. And so I think ownership of a people that is native to this country is key to the reconciliation that needs to take place. And so that honesty piece is a huge piece. And there, again, going back to the ministerial background, Dr. King, I would say that I think that his way of doing things was a very suitable way at the time, because we had all the institutions, all the major institutions was behind the civil rights movement, because they were, I think it's a time where people are just fed up by what they were seeing the happening in the Deep South. And the thing about it is, for us, is that we have the notion that, you know, this kind of racism happens in the South. It happens historically. And because of that, when Martin Luther King made a speech in Washington, that in the passage of the civil rights legislation, that racism is no longer. But that's not the fact. Even though we have all these kinds of all these type of incidents, and I'm not going to get into those because they're almost like on a daily basis. But you have all these instances in our face, we still will not take ownership. And so I think before we can have healing in this country, particularly in terms of racism and racist acts, we have to take ownership as a people and the parts that we play with this. And a lot of it is not individualism. A lot of it is structural and institutional. And so fighting racism is not as just easy as just a appeal to people's morality and societal morality. This is deeply entrenched stuff. And so before we can move forward, we have to take ownership of it and come up and be honest about who we are as a people and where we really want to go. I would say that reading his book, Where Do You Go From Here? Chaos or Community, would be a good start, you know, something to do on Martin Luther King Day. A lot of Americans, I don't know, a lot of people probably shop or take the day off or just relax, which is good. You can do that. But building some sort of consciousness about race and racism, you know, is, I think, key for us moving forward.
Yeah. I appreciate that, and I'll definitely look up that book. I haven't heard of that before. Where do we go from here?
Where do we go from
chaos
here?
And community?
Chaos or community.
Chaos or community. Wow, that sounds like a good read. So I think, too, like you were saying, the honesty that needs to happen, and it really seems like, that, you know, there were these laws that were racist laws, you know, the Jim Crow laws and things like that, that you could look at and there they are, and, you know, in writing, and say, you know, this law is unjust. But now it seems like it's not as obvious, you know. They aren't, you know, it's not written into the law that there's this segregation or discrimination, that on the contrary, you know, some of the laws are written that, you know, so that you don't have that obviousness, but still in the system and way of doing things, that there still is a segregation and an oppression going on, and that I think it's easy to ignore, you know, it's easy to turn a blind eye to that. And so, I mean, what do you think people who don't see that, you know, this is, there's still ongoing issues and inequalities around race, like, what do they not know?
Well, you know, privilege blinds. And again, we're privileged to have access to this knowledge, to live in 2018, the information age. And again, another example would be like Colin Kaepernick. He would be like a Martin Luther King Jr. of his time, except with no backing. Matter of fact, he'd be the opposite of Martin Luther King Jr. as far as he has no true constituency that's really supporting him. The media is against him. His own, the NFL is against him. And the jury's out as far as what the community thinks about him. Of course, he's a hero, anti-hero to a lot of people for many different reasons. But the fact of the matter, his act is what he's doing in name of freedom, in the name of bringing light to a cause, is pointing out the things that are what you're talking about, sort of like some gray areas that are not really written in law, but he's going against custom and status quo. And as a result, he's making a lot of people upset. But it also at the same time, he's making people become conscious, aware. Some people are being consciously aware and having to wake up. And so there's a lot, and that's what's tricky about racism. Racism, it always adapts. And adapts and shapeshifts over time, so we're not able to look at it and really recognize it for what it really is. And I would say this Colin Kaepernick issue is one that really points to the first question you're asking about, sort of like trying to measure what kind of progress have we enjoyed since the days of Martin Luther King Jr. So I'd say that this recent example is a true barometer stick of where we are with that as far as legality, because this brother's not getting paid. It seems like he's been blackballed from the NFL, and it seems like he probably doesn't have a real strong court case to get him back in the game because for whatever reason, yet and still he's unemployed. So,
yeah, and the outrage just doesn't seem to fit with what his mission was, I thought, was to bring attention to the fact that black people are being incarcerated more, at a higher percentage and being killed by the police, and without any consequences for police. I mean, we see videos of that, I mean, it's clear, and just deciding to kneel during the national anthem, I think, is still even respectful in a way. And so, but yeah, it's the outrage doesn't match the act. I guess we still have a long way to go, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, most definitely.
Well, we're out of time, Stephen, and I know.
I'm just getting started.
I'm so sorry. You'll have to come back.
Oh, my goodness.
We only have like 12 minutes. It's a short show, but...
Well, Rich, I mentioned two key books, two key reads, one historical, Where Do We Go From Here, Community or Chaos, and the more recent one, Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates. And so...
Yeah, and that one I have read, and just about what it's like it's a book he wrote to his son about how to like walk in the world in a black body. Basically, it's really enlightening for me, as a white woman to read that too. Thank you so much, Stephen Bell, HSU Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. This is a wonderful person we have working on campus, and hope to have you back at KHSU.
Thank you so much, Claire, for this opportunity, and I look forward to speaking with you at some other point.